is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Learn to listen for His voice. Learn to hear it. And learn to trust the leading of your shepherd. If He's leading you out of something, if He's leading you, it's going to be scary. The pen is the status quo. We're comfortable.
There's wolves out there. There's all kinds. There's bad terrain out there. I don't know about out there.
But the shepherd always leads his sheep out. See, we're moving from a safe in the pen kind of religion to a listen for the voice of the shepherd, follow the shepherd relationship. And if He's leading you out of something, it's because He wants to lead you into something. He's leading you.
The Bible says that Jesus is leading us like a shepherd leads a flock of sheep, and that the sheep know their master's voice. Are you struggling to follow Jesus' voice and guidance in your own life? Is He calling you in a direction that is full of uncertainty or that seems a bit crazy? While following Jesus often means leaving what seems safe and familiar, Pastor Troy will teach you today that the Good Shepherd will always lead you down the right path. His desire is to give abundant life to the sheep of His flock. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 10 as he continues his message, The Good Shepherd.
There was a case in Australia, the stolen sheep trial. There was a man who had his pen, had his sheep. Another guy came, took one of the sheep, and said that was his sheep. Said, no, that was my sheep. And so this guy who had the sheep took him to court. They went to court, and the guy who brought the case before said, hey, he took my sheep. But this guy said, no, that was my sheep. So they started with this guy, and they said, okay, we're going to bring in the sheep. We need the sheep here. So they had the sheep, and they had the first guy who was claiming that the sheep was stolen from him go out and call the sheep. Called the sheep, and the sheep was like, looked a little startled and scared and just didn't move or anything. Well, they had the other guy go out and call the sheep. And the sheep did everything it could to try to get over to that man. And the judge said, that's that man's sheep. Is very clear. A sheep will not listen to a stranger. A sheep is timid. It's scared. It will follow its shepherd's voice. So that sheep right there saying, I want to go with them, that's that man's sheep. So when Jesus came to the earth, many in Israel were supposed to recognize Him. They were in the pen, but they didn't hear His voice. They didn't listen. He called. They didn't listen. It says, He came into His own, and His own did not receive Him. In other words, they should have recognized Him, but they didn't recognize or respond to Him. Now, not all of them. Some of them did. Some of them responded and even participated. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who would give birth to John the Baptist. Simeon and Anna, you might remember them when baby Jesus was brought into the temple. They were both individuals who sort of prophesied about the Messiah. Mary and Joseph, obviously. John the Baptist. Zacchaeus, wee little man was he, climbed up a tree and participated. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, the man that we're talking about here who's in this conversation, the man born blind. He said, look, I don't care where he lived or grew up or anything. The man healed me. He must be from God. So this man and the disciples, obviously. But notice it says He calls them by name. Shepherds would often give their sheep nicknames based upon nuances or tendencies, personalities, you know, little nicknames like, oh, you're a fluffy one. Fluffy. Come here, Fluffy. And so, there's Fluffy or Happy. Look at that one. Just galloping, you know, happy, or, you know, moving the herd along, and, oh, there's slowpoke, let's wait for slowpoke. The shepherd knows his sheep, and he has little nicknames for each one. And here's what this speaks of when it says he calls them by name. It speaks of the personal, intimate relationship the shepherd is going to have with his sheep. I mean, he's speaking a lot of truth here in this illustration. Isn't it awesome that we can have a close, intimate, personal relationship? He knows our nuances. Oh, there you are again. Come on, reckless. You know, come on. There was a song by Tommy Walker. He wrote, it was a great song called "He Knows My Name." He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. So he not only approaches, or he calls the right way, he gathers, but he conducts the right way. Because remember, he's leading them out. He's taking them out of the pen into the open. And look how he brings them out. Verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. It's a picture now of the shepherd coming in to the village, to that pen, going, hey, we're done here. We are about to go on a journey. I'm going to lead. You're going to follow. You're my sheep. See, the sheep, when he goes to get them, they have no idea what the day holds. They don't have any idea where they're going, where the fields are going to be, what terrain is going to be out there, where the water is. Only the shepherd knows. He's already researched it. He's already searched it out. He knows exactly where they're going, and he goes ahead of them. He leads them. He knows where the scary places will be. That's the picture of Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. I will not fear any evil because he is with me. And the shepherd, the good shepherd, doesn't drive his sheep like the Pharisees and the religious leaders were. They were driving them. Get back in line. Follow the law. Do this. Tassel's too long. That was the religious leaders. But the good shepherd leads his sheep. He goes ahead of them. He prepares the way. And he makes sure that everything is going to be okay. He's gone ahead. He knows everything about you now, but he knows everything about the future too, and he's gone ahead, and he takes care of that. See, that's what God wanted his kings and his priests to be. Intermediary shepherds, not lords, which is human nature to be lord. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. It's about me. Give me glory. Now, in context, Jesus is communicating to this blind man who was kicked out, look, you don't need Judaism. I'm the good shepherd. I've come to take everyone out of the pen anyway and to lead them. So, do you believe in the Son of God? That's what Jesus is saying. In fact, Jesus made the same illustration about the expiring of Judaism when he talked about the wineskins. Do you remember his illustration about the wineskins? A wineskin is made of leather. When you put anything that ferments is going to expand. That's part of the fermentation process. And so that leather, which would be sealed, would expand to its fullest, and then it would sort of harden. And that was the whole process. New wine into a new wineskin, and then there you go. You got a hardened wineskin, and you got your wine and whatever, medicine, whatever it is, and you could use it. But you would be a fool to take that same hardened, expanded wineskin and put new wine into it, because then it's already stretched. The only thing it's going to do is burst. So Jesus was comparing in that illustration, Judaism was the old wineskin. It was perfect for its time and for what it was needed for. But now I've come. You can't put new wine, the wine of the Holy Spirit, into this already expanded thing here. It's already expanded. It's used. It's done. It served its purpose. So now we must go. We must go forward. Here's a point that we need to get, though, I think, from all of this. If you're a born-again believer, learn to trust the leading of your shepherd. Learn to listen for his voice. Learn to hear it. And learn to trust the leading of your shepherd. If he's leading you out of something, if he's leading you, it's going to be scary. The pen is the status quo. We're comfortable. There's wolves out there. There's all kinds. There's bad terrain out there. I don't know about out there. But the shepherd always leads his sheep out. See, we're moving from a safe in the pen kind of religion to a listen for the voice of the shepherd, follow the shepherd relationship. And if he's leading you out of something, it's because he wants to lead you into something. He's leading you. Some of us resist his lead. It's a lack of trust. He begins to call, make changes, and we dig in our heels. But learn to trust the leading of your shepherd. Maybe he's leading you out of some bad relationships, sinful relationships maybe, relationships that aren't healthy or helpful for you because he's leading you into something better. Maybe he's leading you out of false religion or a place where, you know, there's just the word of God isn't there or there's no way to grow and he wants you to grow. Maybe he's leading you out of a bad business venture, bad decisions, bad partnership because he's leading you into his blessing. Trust the leading of your shepherd. Notice it says in verse 6, these are John's words, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. He's talking of the religious leaders. And here's why John says this. Remember the context here. Remember the religious leaders? Back in the previous chapter, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who are blind may see, and those who don't see may see. Those who say they see would be made blind." Right? And the religious leaders go, "You calling us blind now? He was blind. Now he's all healed. Now you're saying we're blind?" So what John is doing is he's going, "Hey, Jesus gave this obvious illustration and they didn't get it." Yeah, we are saying they're blind. Blind as bats. They don't see it. They don't get it. So he's pointing out their blindness indeed. Verse 7, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.'"
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. So the second part here for us is that the shepherd guides his flock. The shepherd guides his flock. In verse 7, there's a shift now from the gathering of the flock in the village, in the city pen, to now guiding the flock out in the plains where it will deal with the pen that is out in the fields, out in the open. So now they're moving from safe, secure pen to I got to listen and I got to pay attention and I need to follow. It's a following relationship. And he refers to himself here now as the door. It's interesting because remember before he said the shepherd goes through the door. Well, now he says I'm the door. Well, in the first village scenario, it already had a door. He's just the shepherd. I come in this way. Now we're going to talk about the sheep pen out in the field and why Jesus says I am the door here. Out in the country, those makeshift pens, they had one entrance only. It's good for security. And whenever all the sheep were securely in that pen, the shepherd traveling would lay his tent or just sleep at the door of that pen, literally becoming the door. So a sheep could not wander out. It would have to go over or through the shepherd. The shepherd would never let that happen. And bad things would have to go through the shepherd to get in. Now, this is one of the reasons I don't believe that you can lose your salvation, personally. I believe if someone loses it is because they never had it. Because think about this illustration. If Jesus is the good shepherd, a shepherd in Israel or any other place, when they're in this scenario, they will never, ever, ever let a sheep who's on the inside venture out. They would rather break that sheep's legs if it keeps trying to get out to keep it in than to let it get out and leave. Go, well, you keep doing it. Go ahead. A shepherd would never, ever do that to his sheep. And if Jesus is the good shepherd, giving us this illustration, saying things like, you place them on my hand and no one will pluck them out, knowing them beforehand, then how can anyone ever say you can lose salvation when you didn't gain it? You didn't earn it. You're one of the sheep. You have to go through him. Once you have gotten through him, you're saved. So I think the question is not, can someone lose their salvation? In fact, there's a scripture that talks about if someone could lose their salvation, you can't get it again because you'd be crucifying Jesus all over again. So if salvation could be lost, you could only get it once. And once you lost it, it's over. So the shepherd would literally become the door, not letting anyone out, but also not letting any harm in. Notice in verse 9, he says, if anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. You remember Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Those were final words. Well, when Jesus says this, if anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. Those are final words. Not he might be saved. If he stays there, he will be saved. No, if anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. He's mine. I got him. Or I wouldn't let him in. If I thought it was a deceiver, I wouldn't let him in. I know crooks when I see them. I know deceivers when I see them before they ever get in. So there was only one entrance. You had to come through the shepherd. Once you were in, you were saved. You see, Jesus came not to be one of many doors, but he is the door. He is, as he said, the way, the truth, and life. You don't come to the Father any other way but by him. He is the door. Salvation is in his name. Notice also verse 9, talking of the sheep. He will go in and out and find pasture. And what does that mean? Here's what it means. One door, shepherd. Nighttime, safe. You're not getting out. Nothing's getting in. You're in. And I'll gather you in when I need to, when it's going to be for your best interest. But morning comes, go on. Running out, grass here, grass there, water. Oh, man, wonderful. So the picture here of going in and going out is both security, safety, and provision, abundant provision. That's what he's saying. My sheep will have both of those. Safety in, abundant provision, coming in, going out, enjoying both. I think that's good news. The idea is that we are safe and we have access to provision. And here's a point that I think we want to understand clearly too. The closer you are to the shepherd, the safer and healthier you will be. The closer you are to the shepherd, the safer and healthier you will be. Now, in verse 10, he contrasts again. Look what he says, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I know the thief is coming to steal, kill. We always talk about Satan. And obviously, Satan fits. But Jesus wasn't saying this about Satan. This isn't a text where Jesus is going, and Satan comes in to steal, kill. No, no, he's using an illustration about the thief. Anyone who's not him coming in the wrong way, who's doing this for the wrong reasons, and himself. And here's the contrast. See, those who come in by any other means, those who are the thieves and the robbers, we've already said this, right? They come in and they try to make their own lives better, right? They come in for their personal interests. They all come in for the wrong reasons and to make themselves and their own lives better. But Jesus says, that's the thief and the liar. That's the thief and the robber. But let me tell you about me, the good shepherd. I didn't come to make my life better using you. I came that you may have life. I came for your life, that you could have it abundantly. They came to get everything they could out of your life, but I came to give you life. There's a contrast in selfish motivations. The religious leaders primarily, I think, are the target. And Christ. Satan fits this, obviously. Satan fits into this. But it's not a scripture where Jesus is clearly talking about Satan personally. So, does abundant life describe you? If you're one of his sheep, does abundant life describe you? See, Christianity isn't a life of rules and regulations. Follow this, or, you know, driving people in and keeping them in line. I'm going to the pastor on you. That's not what Christianity is all about. It's a life lived with a shepherd who says, we're going this way. My sheep, they hear my voice. It's a life lived by faith. We hear his voice. Hey, I don't know where the next water hole is. I don't know what wolves are out there. I don't know the terrain, but I hear his voice. And so I'm going to follow my shepherd. It's a life of faith, rejoicing in his provision, pressing in on him during trials. A Christian should never be one who has a grumpy disposition or a very negative outlook. That should never be a Christian. Like following the Lord is some great burden or punishment. Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
What church you go to?
I go to this church.
You want to go to my church? Not if they turn out like you. I don't want to go there. See, here's the thing. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, right? We're the church. We're salt. Salt can sting a little bit. It pierces, you know. Holiness can be a little bright. The closer we get to the Lord, people are like, ah, you're too righteous, too holy. Man, quit that. Be cool like us. But you can't be. Cool is being with the shepherd. That's where the cool waters are. That's where the abundant provision is. That's where God takes care of us. We've got to let go of the world's form of fun and cool and embrace the shepherd's life of faith and fulfillment. And it's a life like no other. But the world is looking at you and they're doing this. Do I want to be in their sheepfold? Let me look at this person, really. And do I really want to be in their sheepfold? And do I want to be under their shepherd? Hey, what was it like? Well, all you got to do is dress this way, look this way, have this haircut, and have this look, and do this. I don't want to be under that shepherd. And so instead, we all hear his voice individually, and he leads us the same, to the same places, but from different places. He leads us, he calls us. In Christ, there is satisfaction, not because of all that we have, but because of who we have. Christians aren't always the richest. Sometimes we struggle. And sometimes sometimes people have riches here and they give them all up and struggle in other countries just to live because they've given their life over to serving the Lord. And they're missionaries out in the field, left the luxuries of home, and they're serving the Lord without electricity or running water. And they're serving the Lord. So they don't always have all the amenities of this life. That's not what's called the blessed life by the Lord. The blessed life is God is with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He takes me, he walks me, leads me beside still waters. He takes care of me. I am in his hands. We should be able to have the same boast as David did. Hey, how's your life going to go? How's your life going? Because you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. That's the attitude of a believer. So is the Lord your shepherd? A second question. Have you been a resistant sheep? Well, today, listen for his voice.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others.
If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.